Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I am your host, Lisa Pugh. There is no other agency in Wisconsin that has been under greater scrutiny over the last year than the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Since 2020, the election has been named as a defendant in several legal challenges and has been at the center of a heated debate about how Wisconsin elections are run. 2 weeks out from the November midterms, we are hosting a Zoom conversation with current WEC Chair Don Millis and Commissioner Ann Jacobs. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks.
So it has been difficult to keep up with all of the legal challenges naming WEC as defendant over the last year, issues related to absentee voting, drop boxes, guidance to clerks. Commissioner Jacobs, what has it been like being on the commission during all of this time of questioning election integrity in Wisconsin?
I think it's really unfortunate that there has been that level of skepticism of the election, and it's been promulgated by conspiracy theories. It's been put out by people in positions of authority, and I think that's really been to the detriment of our democracy. And it stems from the fact that in 2020, Joe Biden won Wisconsin and won by just over 20,000 votes. That's simply a fact. It is reality. And yet that reality has been rejected, and instead conspiracy theories about the functioning of our election system have been put forward, and it's been undermining the belief in the accuracy and of our elections. And I think that's terribly unfortunate.
Chairman Millis, you had previously served on the WEC, appointed in 2016, now reappointed just this last June. How has your experience this time around been different?
Well, I seem to be a defendant more often than I was 6 years ago. And going back, I actually was a member of the old State of Wisconsin Elections Board back in the 90s when that agency had responsibility for both elections and campaign finance. And it's interesting that back in those days, we didn't have a statewide voter registration list. We didn't have a photo ID. We had certainly more opportunities for mischief and voter fraud. And yet, since I've been on the board starting in 2016, confidence in election results has been at an all-time low, much lower than it was back in the 90s, when we didn't have many of these and other safeguards. So it is different.
So have any of the challenges over the last year, those legal challenges about Dropbox, absentee ballot, have they been important clarifications for Wisconsin election law, would you say, Commissioner Jacobs?
I think they've been part of a specific campaign to chip away at the ability of people to freely and reasonably exercise their rights to vote. And I think it's been to the detriment of Wisconsin voters. That these attacks on these mechanisms that allow people to easily vote, to vote safely, to vote accurately, to transmit their ballots accurately, I think it's been terribly unfortunate. And I think they've really been to the detriment of the Wisconsin voter, regardless of party affiliation.
Chairman Millis, do you think any of those challenges really were necessary to clarify some questions for voters and other policymakers?
Well, I think every citizen has a right to challenge and seek guidance on what the election law is. There certainly was, in the court's mind, a distinction between what the commission's historic guidance has been and what the law is. Not all of those challenges would have the effect of reducing voter access. Certainly there was the Kerry decision, which created greater or clarified that federal law trumped Wisconsin law in terms of voter access for people with disabilities. And so it's been a mixed bag. Certainly you can You can argue about the motivations of the people who are bringing these lawsuits, but there are problems with our statutes. Our statutes are vague. It would be nice if they were clearer. And I'm hoping that after the election, we'll have a good, honest discussion about clarifying many of the rules so that we don't have to have these changes. And my concern is that we have sort of legislation by court, or at least we have all these challenges. It would be nice to have statutes and guidance that is much more clear, that is much more sound, so that we don't have changes in the election year. I think that is a cause of confusion and could be have the effect of reducing voter turnout, unfortunately.
Well, let's talk about what might be different coming up in the election in 2 weeks, starting with what might be changing for absentee ballots. We'll show some dates on the screen of some of the upcoming deadlines today, October 25th. In-person absentee voting may begin. November 1st is that recommended date by which the U.S. Post Office hopes you would have your absentee ballot in the mail. Late registration in the clerk's office ends November 4th, and you can also do in-person absentee voting in your clerk's office. That ends November 6th. Your absentee ballot must be received by 8 p.m. on election day, which is November 8th. And then folks can remember that they can register at the polls on election day. Commissioner Jacobs, what do you think it's important for people to remember about absentee voting this year that might be different?
Well, so locations always change for in-person absentee voting. So they should check with their local clerk about where it is they can go. Different locations will have different times. You can't rely on where you went to vote in 2020 for where you can go vote in 2022. The second thing is that people should go and take advantage of early absentee if that is most convenient for them. They can register at the polls while doing the early absentee voting. It's quick, it's easy. And I encourage them to do that if that is the way they wish to vote. If they want to vote on election day, terrific. Again, like you mentioned, you can register at the polls in Wisconsin on election day. And I think that's one of the best parts of our system here in Wisconsin. So people should take advantages of all these different ways they can vote and use what's best for them.
Chairman Millis, you mentioned that voting might be a little confusing for some voters this year. There was a recent ruling on absentee ballots around the addresses for witnesses and whether or not clerks could fill in any of that information and what constitutes a complete witness address. How might that particular ruling or change impact voters, would you say?
I think it's not so much the ruling, it's the fact that there are newspaper articles and blog posts and different information on social media, not all of which is accurate. I think the most important thing for voters is to be careful, to make sure that you take the time to fill out your ballot correctly. I agree with Ann about early voting. I plan to vote early tomorrow. I think that's a great way to do it because the lines are shorter. You have more one-on-one, the ability to have questions answered by clerks if you have a problem or a question about the process. It's much easier and faster than on election day.
We learned last week in a report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that clerks in Green Bay and Racine had received a cease and desist letter for returning absentee ballots that had missing address information, witness address information. Are you concerned about that? I'll start with Commissioner Jacobs.
Yes, because the commission itself recently put out specific guidance on what constitutes an address for a witness on an absentee ballot. And it was street number, street name, and municipality. And some other locations were adding the requirement that you had to have state and zip code. So I am concerned that the guidance we issued is being followed unequally across the state. That's a risk when we have 1,850 separate voting administrators in the state. However, we really need for those clerks to follow our recommendation and our guidance in this case so that they're not disenfranchising. I think it was one of the locations was something like 21% of ballots were being rejected. That's absurd, and I really do think that they need to be consistent with our guidance.
Chairman Millis, would you say anything about that report about what was happening in Green Bay and Racine?
Well, I don't know the specifics. I can tell you this. We do have a systematic problem with the fact that we have 1,852 different voting clerks or administrators. It is a challenge. Under the current setup, much of the authority actually is with the clerks, and they have to make their own call. We provide staff and the commission try to provide as much guidance as possible. Again, I think this is an area where it would be better if we had more specific guidance after the election. I'm certainly hoping that we can accomplish that so that we have uniformity. I think people shouldn't be disenfranchised, and certainly you should have the same rules apply in every municipality.
Commissioner Jacobs, what's kind of some word of advice to voters about absentee ballots? When might my absentee ballot be returned to me for insufficient kind of completion?
My recommendation is to use the MyVote system. MyVote.wi.gov is the public-facing computer website that allows voters to track their ballot as it goes from the clerk to them if they're receiving it by mail. And then they can track whether it has been received and accepted and whether it's been rejected. So if you did send in your ballot by mail and you're concerned, I definitely recommend using the MyVote system. In smaller communities as well, you probably have the ability to just call your clerk and confirm that there were no problems with your ballot. If you are concerned there were problems with your ballot, you got to reach out to your clerk right away. If you've submitted your ballot into your clerk, as of right now, there's a question of whether or not you can fix it or spoil it. So I really recommend that people contact their clerks if they're concerned in any way about that.
Chairman Millis, you mentioned that one of the ruling's legal challenges around voters with disabilities and that federal rights supersede Wisconsin election law. It has been a confusing year for voters with disabilities, many of whom vote absentee, many require assistance both to complete their ballot and to return their ballot. What is the WEC doing to clarify for voters with disabilities what their rights are and to ensure that clerks apply the law equitably across the state?
Following the decision in Cary, the commission issued a question and answer FAQ on what were the obligations of the clerks and what were the opportunities for people who have disabilities. And I think it's fairly clear. Again, it's important for clerks to understand that and read that. It's available on the commission's website. Any person who wishes to see that can probably put a search, go in the search engine for disability, or they can go into the under the news, click on the news heading, and then just scroll down and you'll see the headline that talks about guidance following or for folks with disability. But we rely on people to self-report if they have a disability, and that allows them to have assistance in preparing and sending back their ballot with certain limitations that are pretty clearly explained.
Commissioner Jacobs, are you concerned about this group of voters in the upcoming election?
Our disabled community?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, because really the challenges that an ordinary voter faces in going to vote are sort of the ordinary. Do I have time? Do I have transportation and the like? That is accentuated so much for our disabled community. And so Wisconsin law allows for specific accommodations in addition to those set forth in the Cary decision. Things like curbside voting, where you can pull up to a curb and ask for assistance and have a ballot brought to you instead of having to go into the poll site. You are allowed, if you're unable to mark the ballot, to have assistance. The Cary decision, thankfully, the federal court came to the assistance of our disabled voter community, because the state Supreme Court left them in the lurch and simply sort of waved their hands and said, we're not going to deal with that. That was unconscionable. And I think I'm very thankful that the federal courts came in and cleaned that up, and that our disabled voters are going to be able to have the assistance they need to return their ballots. The other thing I encourage people to do is, if you haven't used one of the accessible voting machines before, maybe when you go to your poll site, if you're going on election day, consider using one of those devices that help mark ballots. It's important that all of us use those devices and make them a little more mainstream.
You mentioned earlier, Commissioner Jacobs, that one of the lawsuits brought before WEC earlier this year had to do with absentee ballot spoiling, basically allowing a voter to destroy their absentee ballot after it had already been returned and then submit a new ballot. This wasn't particularly important in the primary, perhaps less important in the November election. Chairman Millis, do you expect that particular ruling to have any impact in this November election?
Well, there was a ruling and it's been stayed by the Court of Appeals. I guess there's, you know, if you're not following it closely, you may think that you could not spoil your ballot now. The current state of the law is that you can. You can go in and retrieve or spoil it after you've submitted it. I don't know what the time frame is for the Court of Appeals to make a decision on that. My expectation is they're probably not going to change the rules this close to an election.
Okay, good to note. In 2020, during the pandemic, the Election Commission shared guidance that allowed local clerks to set up ballot drop boxes. Wisconsin voters had access to 500 drop boxes throughout that election, but there will not be any drop boxes this year. Commissioner Jacobs, do you think that drop boxes should be allowed in future elections? Is that a change you'd like to see happen?
So to clarify, what we did was reinforce the fact that drop boxes were an available means of delivering a ballot to the clerk. Drop boxes have been used for, as far as we can tell, decades in Wisconsin to return ballots to the clerk. Most commonly, they were the same drop boxes that cities provided for their water bills or tax bills and the like, and then they'd be sorted and given to the clerk. So what the commission did wasn't new. It simply recommended that this was a good way for clerks to make it easy for people to safely return ballots in the middle of a pandemic. Unfortunately, the court didn't agree with that. And I really think that was so unfortunate for voters. It's much more direct to put your ballot in a drop box, a secure drop box, have your clerk go fetch that ballot and process it, than it is to even just put it in the mail. So the fact of the matter is, I really do think we should go back to allowing drop boxes. It's direct, it's clear, they were secure, and I think it was a really unfortunate ruling.
Chairman Millis, what do you think the future should be for drop boxes in Wisconsin?
I'm not a fan of unstaffed drop boxes. One of my concerns is the problem with ballot harvesting. There was the 2018 election in, I think it was North Carolina or South Carolina, there was a controversy involving that, and that was actually involved before, I think it was a Republican candidate, where there was illegal ballot harvesting. I think that we need to do what we can for people who have disabilities, who have difficulty returning ballots, but I don't think drop boxes is the answer.
Here's the thing that I would like to respond to on that. A blue post office box is unstaffed. Nobody watches anyone put them in the post office. What you do is send it on a trip from, if you're in rural Wisconsin, sometimes up to Minneapolis to come back to your clerk's office. So the idea that a locked drop box that only has a key from the clerk is somehow less secure than a post office box where a ballot is handled by the postal person who picks it up, the processor, the person who drives it up to Minneapolis, the person who processes it there, drives it back, and delivers it to the clerk, I don't find to be a reasonable distinction.
The legislature established the Bipartisan Elections Commission in 2016. And as we start at the beginning of the show, we talked about how WEC has been under criticism over this last year, partly because of the makeup, that bipartisan makeup that you will often deadlock on decisions. We are going to listen to a little bit of a disagreement between the two of you in a September Elections Commission meeting talking about witness addresses.
It's no secret that the commission has been a lightning rod for criticism from lots of people. And it seems to me that if we're not going to withdraw the guidance, it's like a death wish for the commission. I mean, there are folks out there who on my side of the aisle who want to keep the commission as it's constituted. And there's going to be an arm wrestling, certainly on my side, about how the commission will continue and whether it continues in the same form. And if we continue to, in my mind, thumb our nose at courts when it suits certain members, that's going to count against us. And it's unlikely that those folks who want to keep the commission are going to have the support to do it. And to me, it's a mistake.
I am not prepared to vote to withdraw our guidance. I believe our guidance was accurate when it was issued. I think it was the right guidance, the time you thought it was the right guidance. I recognize we are under the orders of the circuit court, but those orders do not order us to withdraw the guidance, unlike I think it was the Tigan case that ordered us specifically to withdraw the guidance. So with that, those four words struck, I would have no objection to the memorandum as set forth. With those four words, I would object to it and can't vote for it, because that's not what we're ordered to do. And to withdraw our guidance requires four votes, and I would like the Court of Appeals or subsequent courts to have the opportunity to review that guidance if, in fact, it is incorrect guidance.
There's been a lot of discussion about WEC's future, how it should continue, whether or not it should be abolished. It's been the talking points for many candidates in this November election. Chairman Millis, is WEC effective?
I think WEC is effective. I think it's been more effective. I think it's a better solution than the Government Accountability Board, which it succeeded. And I think there are advantages to the current setup. I think it's important to have partisan members, people who understand politics, understand campaigns. I think that's important, understand elections. I think that there should be some changes that I think should be made. One of the reasons for the deadlocks is that we have many aspects of Wisconsin's election law is vague and should be more specific. If we had some of that stuff tightened up, there would be fewer things on which to deadlock. I also would like to see that some of the provisions that are, many of the actions that we take in closed session, I think our complaint process should be opened up. I think that was one of the advantages, one of the changes that the current commission is more open than the Government Accountability Board, but not as open as it should be. I think it can be more effective, and I think it's basically a sound structure. I think it would be important to tinker with it. I think it would be a mistake to just throw it away and start from scratch.
Commissioner Jacobs, what do you think should happen to the Wisconsin Elections Commission?
Well, I think that as a state, it's bad form for us to change the form of the election administration every time that somebody disagrees with the outcome of an election. And the Government Accountability Board was seen as a national standard. It was eliminated. Fine. The WEC was put in place. The WEC has been surprisingly unanimous more often than not, despite being equally divided between Republican and Democratic appointees. I agree with Chair Millis that I think the structure is sound. I think that changing it yet again is part of what contributes to the messiness of our statutes. You can't keep overturning structure every time and just sort of adding things in. So I think it makes the most sense for the voters of Wisconsin for it to continue. What that looks like, I think, is probably going to be a function of who wins an election on November 8th.
Chairman Millis, do you agree that the outcome of the November election and who wins that gubernatorial race will determine the fate of WEC?
I don't know that it'll determine the fate of WEC. I think that there are, assuming the Republicans continue to control the legislature, I think there are many Republicans that want to continue the current structure, at least for the most part. I don't think that the top of the ticket election is going to make that big a change. I think the gubernatorial race will dictate some of the extent of which changes are made, that's for sure.
Commissioner Jacobs, recently a candidate on the November ballots, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, launched an election integrity incident reporting site encouraging voters to share irregularities at the polls if they see something at a polling place. What's your reaction to that?
I think that it probably does a good job of capturing the phone numbers of people so he can text them, since that's one of the criteria that you agree to if you put your phone number in. Look, that said, I believe Mr. Gabelman tried to do that when he was special counsel, and it failed miserably, and there was nothing actually reported that was substantive. If people have real concerns, if they genuinely think they've seen something gone awry, they should be reporting it to the Elections Commission. I have watched hearings where people have asserted some absolutely fantastical, horrible things, if true, that never got reported to the WEC, never got reported to the clerks involved, and have never seen the substantive light of day. So my view is, it's fine if he wants to do it as a campaign thing, great. But realistically, if people see things that they're concerned about, they should contact the WEC.
There are clearly many people in the United States and in Wisconsin who, without credible evidence, question the legitimacy of the 2020 election. Chairman Millis, does that concern you?
Well, I'm concerned that people, well, let's put it this way. We get all sorts of complaints. By the way, I think it's fine for private citizens to go out and try to, if they want to uncover irregularities and problems, they should file complaints, or they should let us know. Many of the complaints that we get, there's nothing to them. In fact, one of my frustrations with the secrecy of many of the complaints is that we can't expose some of the frivolous complaints that we receive, and I think that's a disservice. I think if some people had to put their name to some of the complaints and it was shown in the light of day, I think that they would, I think maybe they'd think twice about it. But any legitimate complaint, you know, we should be willing to entertain it, willing to look into it, and all that. I think that, again, I look at this as a historical perspective. I go back to 2004 and 2016, and there were people on the Democratic side who were making, I thought, fantastical claims about the outcomes of elections. And so I think it's maybe because of social media and the pervasiveness of partisan media that we've seen more of it since 2020, but I think it's equal on both sides. I think people who lose, many of them, not all of them, but some of them, on people who lose, can't accept the results. And I think that's going to continue. The best anecdote for that is to have shed light on the irregularities, and if there are irregularities, investigate them. If they turn out not to be factually based, we can show that, and then maybe our confidence in our election results will increase.
The Wisconsin Election Commission recently launched an educational video series about elections for both high school students and the public. Commissioner Jacobs, can you talk a little bit about that and why it's important?
I think that it's one of the most exciting outreach efforts that the WEC has done. We live in a digital age, and not only that, our young people live in a video age. They are getting their news and their information from TikTok, from Instagram. They are looking for that sort of information. And we need to reach young voters, and we need to teach them about what it means to vote and how to vote and how to register. And I'm so excited that the WEC is reaching those young voters, would-be voters, where they are, and speaking to them in the language that they want to hear and in the medium that they're going to listen to. I think it's just terrific.
Chairman Millis, how much confidence should a voter have on November 8th that their own vote will be counted and cast accurately?
You know, I've never had any doubt. I've been voting since, 1980. And I've never had a doubt that my vote would not be counted properly. I think that if you pay attention and use a number two pencil or a black ink marker, whatever it says in your instructions, I think you should have confidence that your vote will be counted.
Well, let's remind voters of who they can contact if they have questions or concerns about elections we're showing on the screen. You can contact your municipal clerk. You can contact the Disability Rights Voter Hotline at 1-844-DIS-VOTE. You can also contact the Wisconsin Elections Commission or go to the website at elections.wi.gov. Commissioner Jacobs, What would you say to a voter in this election who is questioning whether or not to vote because they've heard these concerns about, or they have their own concerns about election integrity?
So I certified the 2020 election. I was the person who reviewed the canvas and certified that election. And I can assure you that the results in 2020 were accurate and they were properly certified by the state of Wisconsin. We had a recount. We did the same thing in 2016. And I disagree with Chair Millis that it was some sort of weird both-siderisms, because I didn't get death threats in 2016. I didn't have people posting about my house in 2016. I got a few fringy people sending me Excel spreadsheets. So this isn't a both-sider thing. And it's not people did the same thing. This was one group of people who were very upset. So what I want to tell people is our votes were accurately counted. Joe Biden won in Wisconsin. I don't know who's going to win on November 8th. I have my chosen candidate, but they should go out and vote, because the only way your voice is going to be heard is by getting out and voting.
Chairman Millis, your message to voters this November?
I think that you should never refrain from voting if you think that your vote's not going to count. I think your vote's going to count. I think, for example, what happened in the Georgia runoff in 2018 was a huge mistake. People were told don't vote because it's not going to count. I think that's never a reason not to vote. I think people should. I mean, I've long felt that we have a right not to vote for principled reasons. If you don't like the candidates, if you don't let the candidates run the ballot for a particular election, you should feel free to exercise your franchise or not. But you should have confidence that your vote will be counted, and any fear that it won't be counted should not be the reason why you don't vote.
Well, Chairman Millis and Commissioner Jacobs, thank you both for joining us. Let's remind everybody that the election is on November 8th.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.